Hey y'all, we're going to look at Luke chapter 7, pick up right after the healing of the centurion's servant. This is verse 11. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. So I want to just call to mind the fact that Jesus has already suggested that there's a theme connected to Elijah and Elisha, the prophets, in 1 and 2 Kings. Remember, in the synagogue in Nazareth, he's already said that, well, you guys aren't accepting me, and it's just like in the days of Elijah that those prophets wound up going to Gentiles, and the Gentiles were more receptive than God's own people in that day. Jesus has just healed Naaman the prophet, who is a kind of a New Testament version. Jesus has just healed the servant of the centurion, who kind of plays the role of the New Testament Naaman. He was a military man. He was a commander of the enemies of the people of God, and God healed him in a similar way, as it were, from a distance. Now we get the story of the widow, and it is going to directly reference and recall when Elijah went and healed the widow of Zarephath when there was a famine in the land of Israel. So just imagine Jesus in this entourage, certainly his disciples, but probably a sizable crowd as well, as they're coming into this small village of Nain, meeting this other crowd as the crowd is going out of the city to bury the young man. The man would have died within the last 24 hours, actually maybe even sooner, because they would have Jewish practice would have been to bury him on the same day of his death. And the text goes to great effort to show us that this was a terrible situation. We have the only son of a widow, so she has no other child, and she's a widow. And in those times, that is, as one commentator has said, the sum of all misery. This was a terrible situation. And just consider the role that widows play in Scripture. God has a special heart for widows because they represent those with no resources and no power. God has special attention for them, commands his people to give special attention to them. And we see the heart of God here because Jesus sees the situation, and he has great compassion. The man would have been carried on a simple plank with handles, and he would have probably been shrouded in linen. And the text says that Jesus touched the bier. Now, first of all, keep in mind that for Jewish practice, touching anything that a dead body has touched would make you ritually unclean. And again, we see again and again in the Gospels that Jesus has an infectious holiness, the kind of thing that it's reversed. He touches things and they don't infect him if they're unclean. He blesses them and brings his healing to them. And then he says to the woman something that would have been appropriate probably for anybody to say in any similar circumstance. He says, "Do not weep." If there's anything to weep about, it's her situation. But he knows in this case what he's about to do. So he addresses the young man and says, "Arise, young man, I tell you, arise." Now, I always wonder at this point what the fellas carrying the bier did at this point. If they dropped everything and ran, because it says that the young man sat up and began to talk. It was very clear that he's alive. And it says, and this is where we're already reminded of Elijah and Elisha by the context, by the recent healing of the centurion servant. But then the text says that Jesus delivered him to his mother. This is actually a word-for-word quotation from 1 Kings 17:23, when Elijah healed the young man, the child of the widow of Zarephath. And so it's, again, it's a pointer to Elijah. It's a pointer in the other healing to Elisha. And this is why the people say a great prophet has arisen among us. In fact, it says great fear fell upon them. And I would think that fear, that's precisely what would happen if a scene like this happened. So great fear fell upon all of them. And they say a great prophet has arisen. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, Moses says, listen, God's going to send a prophet like me, and you should listen to him. And so this prompts the question that all the Gospels sharpen as they go along. Who, after all, who really is this Jesus? And what and how should I personally respond to him? Yes, he's a prophet. But if we could just very quickly compare this healing to Elijah's healing of the widow's son, Elijah went through an elaborate process, almost like resuscitation, and he prayed. Notice what Jesus does. He touches the bier and he says, get up. All right, only God heals in this way. He has this unique authority. When he speaks, it happens. And so, again, Luke is sharpening this question and certainly suggesting he's Elijah, he's Elisha. He's the prophet that Moses was speaking of. He's the sum of all prophets, and he's greater than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist. So may we... in our misery, receive and accept the compassion of the great prophet, the greatest of prophets, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.